They're beginning to sing here in Kuskany Marsh Nature Reserve. I'm with Jim Wilson and I'm with Niall Hatch of Birdwatch Ireland and with our sound engineers, Damien Gavigan and Mick McLaughlin. And Jim, I'll just hand back to you now because this is your home turf.
Yeah, thanks, Derek. It's been fantastic to be just transported to all those fantastic locations with all the sounds coming from Scotland and Wales and Cornwall and Northern Ireland. And yes, here at Birdwatch Ireland, Kuskany Marsh Nature Reserve, the birds are starting to wake up. And I think without further ado, we'll just have a quick tour around the microphones that we explained earlier we have out around the reserve here. So Mick, if you're there, would you mind just giving us the deciduous woodland, please?
Much happening in there.
Yeah, but the blackbirds have
the black
started.
Birds, yeah.
And the Lundove, Oscuelga, and yes, and you had the Kjarkanishka, which was the moorhen, or the water hen as it's sometimes called, is making a clucking noise in the background like a little chicken. Wood pigeon, is now starting. All right, Mick, could we have the lake, please? Robin, wood pigeon, I think it was a pheasant as well.
Yep.
That's a jungle fowl.
Yeah, most common bird in the world.
Jungle fowl, yeah, all the way from Southeast Asia.
Sounds great. We mentioned earlier one of our habitats is farmland.
Exactly. And that bird is actually doing exactly that. It's dawn chorus, yeah.
That's its song, of course.
It is its song. Song thrush.
Song thrush there. Smilach Hill, Oscailga.
Yes, or Smolach. Very good. All right. Okay, Mike, we'll all together, Mick, will we just get all the mics open?
Oh, snipe.
Snipe drumming. Robin. Yeah, so you're getting a mixture of robin, blackbird, song thrush, and as I said, we even had our own snipe. And snipe are a bird that's actually declining due to wetland habitat disappearing, being converted to many other things, and you know, being drained. But they're still hanging in there. So even since we started,
yeah.
If you remember, I told you to remember the silence.
And it was very quiet, just after 4 a.m. this
just
morning.
Just pure silence.
You could hear nothing.
And all of a sudden,
now,
they're kicking in.
It was building up.
Yeah, I mean,
they were waiting to perform.
Yeah, it's like you know, the traffic in the morning. You know,
it's a little bit more pleasant than the traffic.
But it's kind of the same. It's as a result of the same sort of behavior. You know, there's a few of us who are crazy enough to be up very early, so there's the odd car. And then as everybody else gets up, and then there's a peak when there's rush hour and everybody's trying to move together, and then it kind of eases off again. And I always think the dawn chorus is a little like that. So you've got the early ones getting out early at the moment here. Blackbird, definitely, and robins now.
The robin's that kind of faster, twittery one there. The blackbird is this more mellow, laid-back sort of tune there. The songsters, of course, you can identify the song because it repeats itself. So it'll do a short phrase of a couple of notes, two, three, four notes. Then it'll repeat that. It might repeat it then a second time, and then it moves on to a new phrase. And it's the only bird here in Ireland that does that. And that's the best way to distinguish it from the others. Just listen for that repetition.
It's sounding good. Just to remind everybody, you're listening to the annual broadcast of the Dawn Chorus live on RTE Radio 1, on BBC Radio Ulster, on BBC Radio Wales and BBC Scotland and around Europe, courtesy of our colleagues at the European Broadcasting Union. We are delighted you can join us this morning for this very special Celtic-themed Dawn Chorus. So for the next few minutes, I think we should just relax, as I said at the beginning of the programme, sit back and enjoy the Dawn Chorus live from Kuskany Marsh Nature Reserve in Cove in County Cork.
Thank you.
that fine balance between allowing the listeners to hear the birds sing and trying to interpret what's going on and pick out some of the birds so they can actually hear them sing. But we definitely heard a pheasant. We can hear some more hens. We can hear robins. We can hear wrens in there. We heard wood pigeon. We heard a pheasant calling very clearly.
We had the little grebe. Yep. If you heard that bird, it sounded like it was laughing.
Like a whinnying kind of noise.
It was like...
very good.
That was really fantastic. Yeah, moorhen. I think there may even be a sedge warbler in the background out there as well.
The snipe came in there a bit as well.
Snipe came in as well. So you're getting a nice mix. As I said on one of the programs before in the lead up, Cuscany is special insofar as it's a chunk of ordinary Ireland in many ways. We even had one or two cars. I mean, it's a fact of life, you know. People, you hear these sounds, these artificial sounds, but yet the birds are singing away. They're focused on what they're doing. And what's very interesting as well is not all birds are singing at the same pitch, at the same, you know, frequency. And that's to make sure that you can be heard as well. And woodland birds tend to sing at a lower frequency than the birds that are either out in the open or only need a small territory. So like the wood pigeon is low bass, and so is the blackbird.
Yeah, the wood pigeon there, that's a great example. It really just sort of cuts underneath all the other birds of the dawn chorus. It's the one you can hear there sometimes on air now. It coos in a series of five notes, sort of like a ooh kind of pattern. And it goes over and over, round doing that. It has a very stereotyped song, because unlike the other birds that we're listening to, mainly singing here, that learn their songs from their fathers when they're in the nest still, the wood pigeon, it has its song genetically coded into its brain. It never learns it, and so it doesn't really vary. So across the whole range of the wood pigeon, all across Europe and into Asia, the song is the same, whereas with a lot of the other birds that learn their songs, dialects and accents develop, and so there's quite a regional difference between them. There, we hear the wood pigeon there now. Sometimes mistaken for the cuckoo, of course, but people haven't heard the cuckoo before. From a distance, they can sound similar. But my rule of thumb always is that if you have to ask yourself, have you heard a cuckoo or not, then you haven't heard a cuckoo. Because when you hear it, there's no mistaking it. That cuckoo, cuckoo, very distinctive.
And I mean, that's another thing when you're trying to learn the different songs, because I know hopefully some of you will get out in the next couple of weeks, because it's not over tonight.
No.
This is going to go on for at least the month of May, probably, and a bit longer. But sometimes you can use phrasing to help you. So with the wood pigeon, it's take two, John, take two. Take two, John, take two. That's the way it's phrased. So I don't have to try and remember the actual song, but it fits in. And whereas the collared dove, which we may hear, is can you coo? Can you coo? It's three together. So you can use things like that as well to help you remember the songs when you're learning them. And of course, now there are loads of apps and things that you can get onto your phone. But what we would appreciate people not to do this time of year is to go out playing the songs, because it's actually interfering with the birds. They're holding territory. And next thing they're hearing, this bird that, where did that one come from? That wasn't here before. And they have to go investigate that and tell it, I'm here, and go away. And so we can actually confuse them a little, especially with the rarer ones or the ones that you don't hear too often.
It can cause them a lot of stress, can't it, Jim?
Yes.
And the thing, of course, is when you're playing a recording, that isn't behaving in a natural way. So a real bird may back away when it's challenged by the resident on the territory, but your recording just keeps, it's pretty shouting abuse and aggression in the face of that bird. And it can stress them. And in some cases, they can even abandon their territory if they think they've been beaten. So it's really important not to do that.
You're listening to the annual broadcast live of the Dawn Chorus from Cuscany Marsh Nature Reserve in Cove in County Cork in the southwest of Ireland. I want to say hello once again to all of our listeners right across Europe, courtesy of the European Broadcasting Union, to our Celtic cousins on the Isle of Man, Cornwall, in Brittany and France, in Scotland, in Wales, in Northern Ireland, because our partners in BBC Radio Ulster, BBC Scotland and BBC Wales have joined us for this very special Celtic-themed dawn chorus this morning. So again, I'll ask you to just relax and enjoy this wonderful sound of nature symphony. hope you're enjoying it. It's the live broadcast of the Dawn Chorus from Kuskany Marsh Nature Reserve in Cove. I'm with Niall Hatcher of Birdwatch Ireland and ornithologist and naturalist, local man from Cove, also Jim Wilson, with our broadcast engineering team here, Nick McLaughlin and Damien Gavigan. And so far it's been a wonderful morning. We came on air live at 4 a.m. We waited patiently for the birds to sing, and they did sing. They sang first in Scotland, so let's go back to BBC Scotland and say hello again to Ewan McElroy. Ewan has probably gone to get himself a cup of tea. Hello, Ewan.
Hello, Derek. Yeah, we're getting a dodgy line coming back to you from Ireland, so I can only hardly hear you, but it is a beautiful, beautiful morning here in Scotland. The sun is over the horizon, and the trees are just pink and beautiful, and everything's coming out. I've got a chaffinch in front of me giving it big licks. There is a blue tit, a great tit, a couple of goldfinches up there as well, which is a lovely way to start the day. And just that sunshine hitting the colours of the goldfinch is wonderful. Everything's kicking off, the rooks, of course, as well. You know, that whole thing of if you see a flock of crows, the rooks, and a rook on its own is a crow. And, you know, if they build a nest high in the trees, it's going to be a fantastic summer. So we're looking forward to that. And I'm going to leave you guys with just the sounds of our birds, because it's that stage in the morning, Derek, when it's really hard to pick out any single bird. So, well, I'm going to leave it with you.
Let's say hello to our colleagues at BBC Wales, Daniel Jenkins-Jones and Tara Oaken. Daniel.
Bore da, good morning and welcome back. Croeso nôl I Gymru and to the Newport Wetlands Reserve. I've got goosebumps listening to that, Derek. I don't know whether it's because the bird song is so beautiful or whether it's because it's a little bit cold here this morning as well. But our reed beds here at Newport Wetlands have started to wake up at last. And Tara, we promised a little bit earlier on that we'd say it's a little bit about the history about this place, because these reed beds weren't here until kind of 20 or so years ago, were they?
No, they were actually given as mitigation for the loss of habitat at Cardiff Bay, so they're actually relatively new. The reserve was officially opened in 2000, so it's now managed by Natural Resources Wales in partnership with the RSPB, who manage the visitor centre, and Newport City Council. So, yeah, they are relatively new. I suppose in terms of a reserve.
Yeah, and they were just kind of ash pits, weren't they, from the nearby power station, etc.
Yeah.
It just shows the power of recovery of nature if we give them a little bit of help. So we've already said that the reed bed has started to wake up, so let's fade up the microphones and have a listen to see what we can hear.
I heard a curlew there.
Yes, we can hear a curlew there on the foreshore. Oh, that's so special, Derek. That is so special. We only just celebrated the, it was World Curlew Day on April the 21st, just a few weeks ago. And we've already heard kind of discussions about the Celtic saints and the connection with our very special birds. And the World Curlew Day is chosen for April the 21st because it's Saint Beino's Saint's Day. Saint Beino, a Welsh saint from the 6th century, who used to preach on Llanddwyn Island on Anglesey. And he was coming back, he used to be able to walk on the water, And he was walking back from Llandwyn Island one day, and his book of sermons fell into the water, and a curlew rescued them. And St. Beno was so, well, chuffed to bits that the curlew had done this, that he blessed the curlew and said that the curlew should be forever protected. And that's why, to this day, it is so difficult to find a curlew nest. Let's have a listen again to the reed bed. So we've got the obligatory wren singing there, the Welsh wren rolling its R's, Tara.
Yes, indeed.
But that mechanical call, what's that bird that we can hear calling?
So the mechanical bird that you can hear is a reed warbler. So that's the one that's doing the rhythmic. So you can almost count the notes of that particular bird. But there's another bird that's very, very similar in sound called a sedge warbler. And that sort of chucks in a whistle. The way that I use to remember it is that the reed warbler is R for rhythm and the sedge warbler is S for scat. So a bit like a jazz scat singer. So they sort of throw a little bit of a warble in as well, a bit of a whistle. So that's a way of telling them apart.
Let's go back to listen to the R or the rhythm of the reed warbler. And you don't need to tell me what that little cuckoo noise is. How many cuckoos have we got on the reserve, Tara?
Well, we've usually got at least two males calling on reserve, so one either end of the reserve, usually at least two every year. I have seen three flying together and another two calling, so we've had at least five in the past. Unfortunately, like many of our birds, there seems to be less of them now, but yeah, regularly we get one on either side of the reserve.
We've also heard the Chetty's warbler, one of probably the noisiest birds in any reed bed, and I'm just trying to think, we'll go back to you, Derek, in a minute, but I'm trying to think whether Chetty's warblers are that common in the other Celtic countries. Do you have Chetty's warblers in Ireland there, Derek?
No, in Ireland, we get them occasionally. We get very excited when we see or hear Chetty's warblers over here on the island of Ireland. But I think it's as you go in from the Irish and British Isles, as you move to the southeast, so, you know, Wales and then into southern England, they become more plentiful. But over here and up north, not quite so much from what I recall.
So probably not so much in Scotland, but not in Ireland, but definitely in Wales, definitely in Cornwall as well, and not quite so sure about Brittany. But a very special bird. I think there's about 50 or 60 pairs of the birds breeding here, Katara.
Yeah, we're actually very lucky here. We've got a very strong population of them. So, yeah, we've had them in the past where there's been so many of them, they've actually been sort of almost shouting at each other, the males, when they're getting ready to breed. So they've been within feet of each other. And usually they're quite, quite a skulking bird. But, we're quite lucky. You do tend to see them here as well. So, we're quite blessed, yeah. And I think you've got a really nice mnemonic, haven't you, Dan, for remembering the call of a Chetty's warbler?
Yeah, I'll share my mnemonic. We just heard a wood pigeon just now, and the guys have already said about their mnemonic. So my favourite mnemonic about a wood pigeon, which has got five notes, is I loves you, I do. I loves you, I do. I loves you, I do. And then the collared dove is a bored football fan.
Yeah.
It goes United. United, United. So those are the mnemonics that we've got here. But for the Chetty's Warbler, another kind of a bit of a Welsh tink to it, it kind of goes, it really does shout out. It goes, me? Who, me? No, it was never me. Me? Who, me? No, it was never me. So let's go back to the reed bed to see whether we can hear one shouting its name out.
Wonderful sound coming from Newport in Wales. Let's go to Northern Ireland now, to Portmore Lough, and say hello again to our colleagues at BBC Radio Ulster, David Maxwell and Anne-Marie McKevitt.
Yes, Derek, almost just as you're coming to us there, the sun is just rising over the mountains here. There is a low-lying mist over Portmore Lough, and it just looks fantastic. I was saying to some of my colleagues here, it's like a scene from a film, except you think that the real world never looks like that, but it does look like that today. And just overhead a moment ago, we had a jet flying over, and it was a reminder that, you know, even though our travel has been so curtailed over the last year, we haven't been able to go anywhere. The natural world and the natural rhythms are continuing, and we've seen that this morning here. As we look out over one of the shallow pools created by the RSPB here, we can see geese, and they have been very active, Anne-Marie, haven't they? In fact, we've seen a little brood there.
Yeah, we've had some greylag geese here with about 14 little ducklings, which has been lovely, and a couple just make a little foray for themselves in one of the pools. These pools have all been, shallow pools have all been created for wildfowl, but also for dragonflies and damselflies.
Yeah, fantastic to see them. And a really big brood as well, 14. I mean, we can't expect all of those to survive, Anne-Marie.
No, and I think the heron's been about, so he might snaffle a few of those.
And what else are we seeing here?
So we had the kind of the really big cacophony from all the sedge warblers, and then as things started to heat up here beside us, we've had the robin and the wren, the very explosive wren, and the blackbird singing. And then what was really lovely is we've been joined by all the kind of summer migrants. So we've had blackcap singing, and then we've been talking about the difference between the chaffinch, which sounds like a fast bowler, it ends very abruptly, and then our other migrant, the willow warbler, which is a much more kind of waterfall sound. So as it's been warming up, we're kind of going through the birds, and we've just had a great tit start to sing as well, calling teacher, teacher.
Yeah, you mentioned warmth, actually. I mean, there's not been a lot of it here. We've been sort of 2-3 degrees, something like that. But I'm reminded that last year, of course, we had that very long dry spell. This year, it's been very cold, still dry, but cold. What kind of effect is that having?
Well, I think, I mean, the cold can have an impact, but I guess as long as there's plenty of insects about for birds to feed their chicks on, and that's then they can do okay, really. I guess the difficulty is if they get birds get too cold when they're brooding and things like that, they can have an impact. But that damp weather, I mean, that very dry weather is a bigger worry, because the drier the weather, the less insects about. So, you know, a bit of rain's a good thing.
Well, we have all the mics up across the reserve here. Let's have a listen.
I think now we can go back to Cornwall and say hello once again to Sam Pip Miller. Hello, Sam. What's it like there now?
Hello. It's, well, as you can probably imagine, it's brightening up. The sun is thinking about rising. It's on its way. It's just touching the underside of the clouds now with a nice pinkish red. It was a deep orange not too long ago, but that, as the sky is turning blue, the colours are fading. And, yes, it's turning into be... Well, as I imagine is across all our Celtic nations, it's a very peaceful morning here in Cornwall.
Let's say hello to Tim Earle, who's on the Isle of Man. Tim?
Hello, Tim. Are you still on the Isle of Man? Tim is gone, I think. We're going to say hello to Eric Dempsey, who's in County Wicklow. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Derek, and how are you this morning?
Very good. A bit cold, but we're living, Eric.
You're having a wonderful dawn chorus there. Of course, here on County Wicklow, the Garden of Ireland, the birds started singing about 20 minutes before you guys got your birds singing down in Kuskany Marsh. And we've had a wonderful dawn chorus here in the garden in County Wicklow. I'm in an area about 3 kilometres south of Newcastle Village and about 1.5 kilometres in from the coast, not far from East Coast Nature Reserve. And it's a large sort of 1 acre garden full of trees that we've planted. And we've had all the usual birds that you would expect in a rural garden. We've had all the wood pigeons, blackbirds, song thrushes. And I don't know if you can hear in the background, one of our neighbours has a peacock which has just woken up, which is adding a little bit of tropical sort of feel to the birds that we have in our garden. So I'm just going to let you have a listen from where I'm standing, and hopefully we can pick up some birds that are calling here. And as I say that, things have gone suddenly very quiet.
Always happens. Yeah.
Which is always the way. Everything was singing about 2 minutes ago, and it's gone incredibly quiet all of a sudden, because don't forget, Derek, the sun is quite high now. I mean, there's pink-tinged clouds overhead. It's very, very bright. So a lot of the birds are beginning to get more active and thinking about feeding. And it's very interesting in that we're about 1.5 kilometres in from the coast, and we get a lot of migrant birds coming through the garden as they move, say, maybe inland up into the mountains. And 2 nights ago, I had the incredible pleasure of a grasshopper warbler calling at night in the back of my garden. Now, grasshopper warblers are a very strange little warbler, lovely buffy yellow with spots. But their song is not exactly beautiful. It's like a fisherman's reel. It just goes like that, and it keeps that up for hours. But the extraordinary thing is that the pitch and the frequency of a grasshopper warbler is very, very low. And you often wonder, like, how do you compete with all of these birds that are blasting out songs like wrens and blackbirds? Well, the grasshopper warbler wouldn't be heard at dawn or during the day competing with all of these birds. So he sings at night. And in colder conditions, which is always the night time, you have the fact that lower pitches travel better in cool air. So the grasshopper warbler singing at night time has an advantage in that, firstly, the other birds aren't singing. Secondly, the cooler air allows that sound to travel further. And then the third advantage is that the females arrive in at night time. So grasshopper warblers use their time very, very well. It's very good time management, because they would never be able to compete with all of the other birds that we have in our garden. And I was praying to the great bird god in the sky that maybe the grasshopper warbler would stay around, but he just sang for a few hours and then obviously has moved inland. But that would have been a wonderful bird. And also, I know you were talking a little bit earlier about woodpeckers coming in from Wales and from Scotland, and we have a woodpecker that comes into our garden every day on the nut feeders. It's a beautiful male. And last summer, he brought in a juvenile, and he was sitting on our feeders with the juvenile, feeding the juvenile in our garden. And in recent weeks, the birds were drumming in a big old sycamore tree that we have at the back of the garden. And again, I was praying to the bird gods in the sky that we might get one of those this morning. But unfortunately, we didn't hear the woodpecker, and unfortunately, the grasshopper warbler has left us as well.
It's never too late, Eric. Eric, just bear with us if you wouldn't mind for a moment, because I've got to do something here. I just want to say thank you very much indeed to David Maxwell and Anne-Marie McKevitt and producer Jimmy Devon and BBC Radio Ulster, who are leaving us now to continue live on air with BBC Radio Ulster. So for the benefit of the listeners in Northern Ireland, we'll stay quiet. You'll hear the birds singing, and then you'll hear your own presenters taking over on your own channel. So thank you very much indeed for being with us. We'll just listen to the birds sing now here for a few minutes.